Jews, and there was only one Nazi for the half a dozen young French hoodlums who were showing them around which ones.
Yeah.
I was there and saw it. So if they come here, there'll be Jewish Americans who will play the role. I want to ask you, what will, knowing America as you do and feeling the passion of what you express, how can we take action to give your passion to the American people so we'll be committed to defend ourselves in the face of the subtle attack that we undergo relentlessly? And I am aware.
From my point, I think what the power in the country, the money, the energy of the country is in the hands of the, not the liberals. The liberals are poor people. But you give up them, the media and the universities, and they destroy the country. Please, with your money, with your energy, try to take this back. It is yours. Take this back. Take back the universities. Take back the media, the TV. You know, when I was in CBS and ABC, I tried to talk to them. I want to make a movie. I told them, listen, who needs this now? Make a love story. We don't want. We don't want because we are sick. This is a pro-communist disease. It's terrible. This is a real psychiatric disease. But you should fight this. And I will tell you why. In the subways, the people read, what they read? Jacqueline Susan. Like Jacqueline Susan, sometimes Leon Norris. Why United States, the intellectuals of United States cannot make good books and books about this, the most important problems in this world, and made it so that everyone would like to read this. We should find the way, because it, don't be ashamed of the word propaganda, because you will fight with propaganda from other side. We should make this, and first of all, for the own population, please. What? I don't understand. Right. Okay. I will tell you, you know, I cannot give you a really plan how to start a big offensive. But the first example, try to support me and my friends to make a documentary movie together, American filmmakers, Russian, Hungarian, from Eastern Europe, for all over the world, in different languages, a really long movie, maybe 20 series, about communism. Communism and religion. Communism and moral, communism and family, communism and workers. And this will be the best first step, because people will watch the movie, people will think about this, and something will start. Try to make something in the universities. I don't know how to make this, but first of all, you should push people, new people, a new generation of very, very well-prepared people who can fight the ideas. You need now people who can make good books, who can be philosophers, new philosophers. Where are your philosophers? You know, the people who want to fight for your ideals, they are the poorest people in the world. They haven't the support. The people who want to fight against you, they have a support inside the United States, because people, rich people like to give them, like Leonard Bernstein in New York. He liked the Black Panthers, you know? And I remember I wrote in a book how the Black Panthers told him the first what we will make, we will take his apartment when they came to their own. And he gave him money. Yeah. I can answer you. I was thinking about this very much. I will tell you what's happened. The Soviet Union, really, you will not find now true believers in communism except in the madhouses. But, because in Kremlin, nobody believes in communism. But you cannot compare United States and Soviet Union. Soviet Union is a big concentration camp. And Soviet Union tomorrow will mobilize all the cynical guys, and there will be wonderful murders. And we will listen to the officers, and we will make a war. In the United States, we will go to Canada or to Sweden. This is the reason, because from the military machine from Soviet Union, you cannot escape. You want, you don't want. You will go and shot. You remember, I was in World War II in Russian army, a volunteer. I was 15 years old, because in Russian army, you know, we had a lot of boys, because a lot of victims, 20 million were killed. And the last 2 years were a lot of boys from 12, 13, 15 years old. And I remember a boy, we stay in Poland. You know, Baptist in Soviet Union is a very small amount of Baptist. But the Baptist in Soviet Union, we had one of the laws where we cannot have a rifle in the hand to kill somebody. And I know this in Soviet Union, I don't know how the Baptist in the United States. But we cannot take a rifle in the hands. Okay, this is a question of his consciousness. He cannot. You know what the Soviets made? I remember. 10 Baptists we bring to the regiment. One of them we put to the wall. And in front of all the others, we shot him. The 9 others take the rifles and go to shoot the Germans. A wonderful example. We kill 109 wars. This is the Soviet machine, you know. You cannot stop them. We will not become weak. Because in Soviet Union, only secret policemen, 500,000, civil cloth, civil dressed, 500,000. You cannot make, you know, a step. I remember when we made this strike in Soviet Union, you understand, we made this very underground. Because if the KGB will hear about this, they will arrest us at night in the beds. But we made this, we cannot talk to each other. We write to each other letters, messages, and we burn them. And this helped us, only this, without a voice. The Japanese equipment, you know, cannot read the messages. We can listen only. And we made the strike. But it was only one time. After this, Soviet Union find a way how to block the other guys. Because it's a terrible machine. We cannot compare with a free society. In a free society, the people should believe in something. What to believe? Believe what to defend. What to defend? The American style of life, you had a lot of faults. You have terrible negative sides, but you have one thing, the freedom to explain what you mean. In Soviet Union, you haven't this. In the United States, you have the other thing. You can eat how much you want. In Soviet Union, all the time, till now, people remember. I am till now. You know, I cannot leave at the table a piece of bread. I will eat till the end. This is the reason I get a belly now. Because this is Soviet custom. We grew up hungry. All our life, hungry and hungry and hungry. This is, and hungry people who are afraid will all the time listen to the command. And we will make this. And the United States is only one way to each other, to talk, to explain. But the best is to have the TV in the hands, the newspapers. You know, New York Times. New York Times is like a filial of the Soviet newspaper Pravda. All the time I have a feeling, but Soviet Union pay them this next extra money. When you try to talk to them, listen, we should make something this. You talk, oh, yeah, listen, it smells bad. It smells bad. All what is against communism smells bad. It's pornography. Something what is good for communism is good in the United States. It's the only one way. You have the media now in the country, not in your hands. Try to take the media in the hands. Newspapers, TV, film industry, publishing houses, and the universities. This is the internal war in the United States. You lose the war, you lost this. Now maybe the time to make an offense, because you have enough money, you have enough people who are quite enough wise to understand what it means, and you should start this. Only one way. Oh, excuse me, the lady.
I have brought you
Oh, and this I can tell you. Oh, I know good. Because some Russians, you know, I met the Soviets in different cities, because we remember me, I was a famous filmmaker. I met in Paris a guy who understands what he's working for Soviet government. He's in Paris in a Soviet delegation was. And he invited me to a cafe. And he told me, Savel, at least I want to give you one advice. In 2 days I will go back to Moscow. Talk, but don't forget till what point you can talk. After this point, you can be killed. Here in the United States, I met a lot of Russian dissidents who are very afraid in the United States because nobody can defend them in the United States. You know what Solzhenitsyn made in Vermont? He made his own concentration camp. His house is like a concentration camp with iron around, how it's named, the bears, with a watchtower, because he's afraid. He understands the American villains defend him. He stayed in the own concentration camp in state Vermont, because he understands that everywhere the Soviet agents, with money in the United States, tens of thousands of Soviet agents working here. It was a guy who escaped from Soviet Union, and he made a mistake. He crossed a little bit more than the point. He was a party leader in the Soviet fleet, fishing fleet in the Pacific. And he escaped in Japan, came to the United States. But he opened here one very important secret, Soviet, what the Soviet fishing boats are full with electronic equipment to listen to the American military bases conversations. Because it's not fishing ships. Inside the fishing ships stay two or three military officers and listen. After this one, he made this press conference. In a week, he was fined in California in the motel with the throat cut from ear to ear. This is the Soviet, the Soviet way. And his money and his watch was on his breast here. It's a special made. Nobody robbed him. They killed him. This is people who try to fight against Soviet Union, former Soviets. I will tell you how United States don't try to support the people who fight against communism. It was a very interesting personality, Captain Hochlov. He lives now, he's in Stanford University. Yeah? He was in California. Yeah. Remember, he was in California. Captain Hochlov. He was a Soviet KGB officer. They sent him into the West to kill some persons who they don't want. They sent special people, killers. And he was an honest guy. He started as a believer in communism, and after this he understands what this is, murders. And he married in Moscow, and his wife told him, listen, they give him a target. In West Germany, a former Russian, an old man, Okulovich, you should come and kill him in Frankfurt. And his wife told him, listen, don't make this, he will be a killer. If you will kill him, don't come back home. I don't need you as a husband. And he don't know what to do, because if he will not go to Germany, the Russian will kill him. He want to take the wife with him and escape, but they give him the wife. And they send him to Germany. And he was a very honest man. He came to the old man Akulovich at home, and he find him a 70-year-old man, and same age his wife. And he opened the door and told him, I am a major of Soviet KGB. I came to you to kill you. You want to be alive? Please help me. Help me to save you. You know where are the Americans here. What happened after this terrible story? First of all, the Americans start to beat him. They don't believe him, you know, they don't believe him. And after all, when they believe him, he made a statement, they tried to make this in TV, a press conference, and he told them, listen, I cannot make a press conference, because my wife, with a 2 weeks old child, is in Moscow, as hostages. Give me, if you promise me, what from your embassy, you will come to my apartment and take my wife in the same hour when I will open the mouth in Frankfurt, I will make this for you. And the American chief of the army in West Germany give him a promise, and the American president Eisenhower in this time give him a promise. And he opened the press conference. And after the press conference, he asked, what happened with my wife? He told him, we haven't news, nothing. Soon we will hear. You know what happened? Nobody came to his wife. The wife was arrested, and the 2 weeks old son was arrested, and nobody knows, they disappeared. This is the price. Why? Why? Why, if a man starts to fight against your own enemy, why don't you support him? This is the disease of the country, of this world. Yeah, please.
Nobody would listen to Andrea Malrick.
Yeah.
Andrea Malrick was 2 months ago at Stanford University. There were about 500 students who listened quasi-religiously to Andrea Malrick and gave him as warm standing ovation as we gave to you tonight. And I was immensely encouraged. I introduced that night Andrea Malrick, and frankly I was feeling, because it was not very well advertised, I was wondering whether anybody will be on the campus. And several hundred students came and, as I said, greeted him most warmly. Second item, when Solzhenitsyn spoke in March 1975 over the BBC,
yeah,
it was a tremendous success that the London Times said the next day, since Garibaldi visited London in 1870s, nobody ever impressed the British audience as much as Solzhenitsyn. And this wonderful man, who unfortunately didn't make it the leader of the British Labour Party, Brown, he resigned from his own party because he wanted to do something in order to show his solidarity with Solzhenitsyn. What it means? It means something, but I think it's for all of us very important to make a distinction. Your speech was a wonderful speech. And I fear, sir, I am telling you really as a brother, I'm a Serb by origin, so very close, you understand what I mean by this. I think that in a certain sense, you might have, and I hope, that you have perhaps misunderstood on a certain margin the West. Western society is a very complex and complicated society. And I think that particularly in this great and generous country as America is, and I speak, as you see, also with a very thick foreign accent, but that in this country there are powerful forces of heart and of mind. You have at this table, sir, Professor Kirk and Professor Niemeyer, who are among the finest intellectuals which the Western world has produced. You have in this audience a certain number of people who have written books. Their books perhaps, and unfortunately, are not spread enough. Here is my friend, Professor Possoni, and so on. I really think that the paradox is that we have, in a certain sense, in the West, in this country, we have won the ideological war concerning Marxism. I could spend the end of this evening quoting you the books of the eminent American writers and so on, who has really demythologized Marxism better than sometimes even you, who have seen the Marxism in action in the Soviet Union. So in this sense, in this extraordinary complicated American country, I think that our students are not entirely, as one could conclude from your perhaps too pessimistic a speech, these hundreds of youngsters at Stanford University, which is exposed more than any other university to the liberal professorial influence, were there, you know, with their inflamed, with their firing eyes, listening to Andre Amalric as if a prophet came to their own milieu. In this sense, there is a great pulsation in this great American country. What is perhaps the American problem? I think all of us who are my colleagues, I mean, the problems are not our students, the problems are our colleagues. Yeah. That is the problem.
Right, 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 the teacher.
But in a certain sense, that is, you know, that is a sort of the sword with two edges. To tell you frankly, I was much more enthusiastic that night. I was never in my life, I spent 15 years at Stanford University, I was never so much proud of Stanford students than that night when these youngsters, innocent American youngsters, exposed day after day after day to the poison of liberalism and collectivism and everything, they were giving standing ovation to Andre Amalric. That is more important, in a certain sense, than their blasé or cynical and so on instructions. So, what I wanted to say as a sort of the supplement, not at all to contradict you, but that our problem is, as I said, our colleagues, and then the essential thing is the political leadership of this country. And in this sense also, now I know that some in the audience will probably disagree with me. I found that there are even some pluses to be given to the present administration. Mr. Carter has given the order that the Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty and so on, that the might of the American propaganda, if you want, to be increased. I know that Radio Free Europe is not what Gerhard Niemeyer and Steve Bossoni would write there. But it is still, we have at the present moment, somebody at the head of this nation who I think instinctively, not yet perhaps in policy terms, understands something what you and I very, very deeply feel too.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to finish, excuse me, please, I made a speech and not asking you a question, but I think it is so, so really important. You know, Arthur Koestler in 1942, when it was very bad in Great Britain, as you know, yeah, it seems, and he wrote an article in which he said, the situation is so bad that we do not have the right to be pessimistic. And I think
right,
we are
right,
in such a situation.
Right. I agree with you.
We do not have the right, yeah, to be pessimistic, and there is a tremendous potential power in the United States, which into which we have to believe, and which we have to try to mobilize.
I agree with you. I agree with you, and I will tell you, if I will not believe that we have some power and some people, not a lot, but we have people in this world who will resist and who will fight, I will not come to talk to you, because I hope that I will find more and more supporters. And you're not my supporters, you're your own supporters. It's first of all your own business, because we made our job in Soviet Union and you see the results. Now we should save the other part of the world only.
Like the Soviet Union, when an idea does get loose, it has a peculiar momentum. It has a tremendous momentum. I think you've probably seen that as being a member of the dissident movement. In our society, an idea loses its momentum much more quickly.
Yeah.
It careens around,
yeah,
it becomes ridiculed, it is satirized. Soon you can't tell reality from the National Lampoon. This is a problem. I support the idea of a film like yours, but do you fully appreciate what happens to any idea, no matter how compelling, in a society like this, where there are so many ideas, and they are so freely expressed, and therefore so many good ideas, such as the ones that we've seen produced by many in this audience, are lost, unfortunately, in the shuffle? This is what bothers me. Do you think that there is something that, is there some peculiar momentum that you see that we don't see in this series of films? The BBC did, I thought, a marvelous documentary on Stalin.
Yeah.
It was an excellent film.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think it had a very wide, it did not make a very wide impression, although it was shown in this country at least twice.
Yeah.
This is the thing that bothers me, the relative momentum of an idea, if it can even get out in a society like the Soviet Union, versus what happens to ideas in this country.
You know, I will tell you, every good idea in a country like United States should be sold good. Sold good. It needs money, a good advertisement. Why all the time when I was in Miami, over the beach was a big, you know, Zeppelin with Goodyear? Why not anti-communism? Why somebody put the money in this? With the Goodyear you can go straight into the hell when the communists came. On the wheels with Goodyear. Why? It needs money, it needs good organizers, it needs people who believe, but you should support them, you should support them with money. With money, money, money in this world is all money. The Soviet Union understands this, and we buy what we want in the United States for money. Tomorrow we will take a part of White House defense. Why not? Money. But how is, when it came to the story to anti-communism, you know, everyone is ashamed to support this. This is the reason I talk about this, you know. But it is not as wonderful that the 500 students listen to Amharic. I was with Amharic now in England, also very good reception. But around are millions of British people who don't know Amharic. Who will give the money, support, trips of Amharic to make tape recordings of Amharic speeches, translate into different languages, to make a documentary movie about Amharic, to make more and more and more and more with good actors Amharic? Oh. After this, I will tell you, you're a real fighter, you're a patriot of this idea. But if, you know, he came, tomorrow Marek will die. After 500 speeches, he will die. Or his wife, Giselle, will divorce him. It's not a life. He should support to make a fight. He's alone. And Marek is alone. Ernst is Westentok alone somewhere. Some two or three more Russian dissidents. Bukowski, who is so tired that he cannot talk. He needs a good hospital before and a resort. But where is the big media? Where is your power? Use the people. Use the media offensive. Why Amari cannot, people like Amari cannot talk to every student in university? Make him a tour all over the universities, all over the campuses. And I will tell you, you are really fighters for your own freedom. But if Amarik will, you know, be occasionally in Stanford University, it is not enough. It is good, but not enough. Because the communists, when we made the offensive, you know, is 180 big units with full of equipment, and the goal is New York. This is. You should all the time remember the enemy is very strong. The enemy is like a piece of iron, without feeling, without moral, cynical. And he will come and he will make this iron foot. Please be prepared to this and prepare, first of all, your own population. You should be, because the liberals in every country, we open the door to the totalitarian regimes. In Germany, we opened the door to Hitler, in Soviet Union, in old Russia, we opened the revolution after February to October. In 5 months, the liberals killed the country. And you know what we, the communists, we are smart guys. First, whom we killed? The liberals, because they hate them. They hate them. First victims of communism are the liberals who open the gates and looking for the back to kiss. And they, this is the communists. And your enemies are the liberals. Thank you. If you have any questions, I will relax. And you will relax from my view.
Thank you. On that optimistic note, at least that the liberals will be the first to go. We'll close the formal part of the evening, and thank you so very much, Mr. Saul.
Thank you for
most inspiring.